Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
I've just discovered that I may have a son here in this land.
How much child support is she getting from?
The king pays no child support.
No child support for 30 years and you came back? You was a dummy!
Hello, I am Hakim Jaffer, king of Zamunda. You are the heir to the throne.
Yes, my father.
He's supposed to be like the prince of Wakanda.
Wakanda is a fictional place.
Not to everybody.
Zamunda is a very real nation.
I don't need no handout.
Wait a minute.
Hey, I'm gonna pack.
Okay, baby.
Presenting King Akeem's son from America.
And my mom's.
And his mom's.
Children, this is your brother.
Hey, Quang. I'm sorry I slept with your man.
This happened before we even met.
It's not like you're the first man I've ever been with.
What did you just say about the other man?
Coming to America, now it's coming to me.
Welcome to Why She's Winning with your host, Christy Rutherford, the master of office politics and self-care advocacy. Since June 2020, her clients have earned over $1 million in promotions, raises, and bonuses. Surprised that women are still getting paid during a pandemic? Well, with Christy, these success stories are the rule, not the exception. Now is the time to take your career to the next level and live a life of total fulfillment. So, let's welcome your host, Christy Rutherford.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Why She's Winning, where we are sharing insight and information on how to win bigger. That's what we do. Today, I have my amazing former and, in a certain way, a la carte current client, Grace Tanya. Grace is the head of diaspora credit at a TL1 bank in Kenya. She lived in the U.S. for 15 years. She's been back in Kenya for a little over 2 years. Before moving back, she was the high net worth underwriter for another bank in the U.S. Grace has an MBA from Illinois State University, and she has an Omega credit certification among the million things that she's done. Welcome, Grace.
Thank you, Christy. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. We actually met at a bar. I think it was like January 2018 or so. You said when you came into 2018, you set an intention that your life was going to be different. Tell the ladies about what happens when you set a serious intention, not necessarily about, oh, I think I'm going to try this, but you set a serious intention. And then what happened after that?
All right, cool. Yes. So we did meet in 2018 in DC. And before I met you, because I met you, we met in December 2017. We started our sessions January 2018. So when we met in 2017, I had already told myself that I wanted my life to change. I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew that something had to change. And the difference between the wish and actually setting the intention is that at the time we started our sessions, I was mentally ready for it. You did push me a little bit to get started because I had career things going on, but I was ready to invest in it and I was determined to see my life change.
Yeah, because you know, it's funny because you, we talked in December, you stalked me at a bar. Right? My friend was like, so this is the difference, and this is why I love this story, is because you knew what you wanted, even if you didn't know what it was. And we started talking. It was just a random conversation, and you would not stop talking to him. My friend was looking like, who is that? And why is this chick? Oh, you were like this. You're exactly what I've been looking for, right? It's almost like whenever you make and put your stake in the ground and say, this is what I want, but then you leave the how open to a greater source. And the difference in this, Grace, with you is when we talked, you was like, you're what I've been looking for. And then, you know, you made a decision, but then you kept thinking that you needed to do something different to actually get started. So talk to the listeners about what actually changed between December and January.
Yes. So one of the things is I wanted to first go on vacation. I'm born in December. So, and I'd been working so hard. In fact, when I met you, I was at that point where I was so stressed. I'd been working so hard. So I first told you, I'm about to go on vacation. I will hit you up after that. And then when we started, we were now doing our performance reviews at work. And I also told you, I need to get that finished. So there were these things that I felt I had to put in order before I started the session. But the truth is, no, you don't. You just need to get started because there'll always be something going on that will distract you from starting the appointments or just starting the sessions. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear so many ladies talk about, oh, I'm going to call you after this happens, like after I shave a sheep or after I can't get braces. But they always want to do something to prepare. And I'm just like, well, you don't really understand what I do, because if you need to do something and get it together before you call me, what am I going to do? Like, please let me assist you, because I can see you're stressed out of this moment. You don't need to do anything. That's the work that we're going to do.
True. And the truth too, Christy, our lives are forever busy. There's always something going on. So are we really saying we're waiting for that to stop so that we can get going? It will never happen. And I think 2020 was a really good example of how we just sometimes need to stop, pause, and just reflect and act.
When we first got started, you thought that you wanted a promotion, which is what all women think. You were unhappy. And you wanted to date and you wanted to get promoted in your job, thinking that that's where your happiness was. What did you really need, Grace?
Yes. So it is true. At the time that I met you, I'd been working for that employer, I believe 3.5 years. I actually had a good job. My performance reviews had words like outstanding, valuable team player, excellent. So to me, moving from that role to a more senior role seemed like what should just be happening. And then I remember my boss telling me now in that January during the performance review that it wasn't time. And I also wanted to start dating. So I was also like, yeah, I need a boyfriend too, or I want to start dating. And what I actually realized is I had to work on my personal self first for anything else to happen. And we'll probably talk about this a little more later, but it's true, you have to solve yourself first before anything else can start falling in place. And that's truly what's happened in my life since I started the coaching and since I've worked on myself. Everything else has just fallen in place naturally.
It's so good because it was our first call where we discovered, you know, I call it your trauma default. What's the thing that's really stopping you from, because you were super successful, but you weren't happy. And you had the money and you weren't happy. You had this nice condo and you still weren't happy. So we always think that, oh, if I get more money or if I get this promotion, I'm going to be happy. And we discovered it was actually love with your family. That was the real thing that you wanted. And I remember our first call was supposed to be an hour, but we talked for 45 minutes. She was like this, I'm done. Like, is this? You were like, you had to talk
for 15 minutes. I was hiring you. Sorry, Christy. I was hiring you as a career coach because I didn't think there was anything else that was wrong with me. And like you said, I was so successful. I was actually traveling with my friends to 6 new countries per year. And here I was saying I'm unhappy. So, yeah.
You're like, yeah, we dug into your personal stuff, wiped you out in 45 minutes. You was like, I don't want to talk to you no more. Are we done? It was so funny. You're like, are we done? Because I think we're done for today. I was like, all right, whatever. Talk to the listeners about how we always think it's attached to our job. But when we dug into your personal stuff, that is where your real treasure was.
Yes, it's true of so many things. We often think that the issue is outside. It's the boss not understanding us. It's the work environment that we're in. But we really attract into our lives what's going on. So Ariel Ford, if I may read this quote, she said, "We draw to us those people, events, circumstances that match our inner state of being. That's the universal law of attraction." So for me, I was not in a proper state of being. What I needed to do was reconcile with my upbringing. I needed to get to a place where I could see what I had contributed, where my family had contributed. And for me, Christy, if you remember, was forgiveness, just forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others. And the moment I went through that 21 day of forgiveness exercise, it's like everything else just started opening up. Yes, we do think that sometimes it's others, but it's us. And sometimes it's just something mental, even not necessarily physical.
I think one of the biggest things that set you free was understanding that you thought your dad was strict just to be strict. The perspective that you gained was he was strict because he wanted to protect you and he loved you. That small tweak in perspective, it almost rewrote the script for your entire childhood and how you showed up. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, a little bit about me is I'm a pastor's child. So I was raised in a pastor's home. And growing up, for those who know, pastor's kids are usually more restricted. We don't see life the way non-pastor's kids see life. And as I grew up, I felt that maybe that's what had restricted me from being who I truly wanted to be. And as you and I did the sessions and we talked about forgiveness, we started talking about why is your dad the way he is? And we realized that even for him, he was a boy turned into a man, turned into a husband and into a father. And his life experiences had also influenced the kind of parent he was to me. So it was truly out of love and out of protection so that we don't go through what he went through. I remember even as we did the sessions, one of the things was to write a letter to him and just say that I now see him as he was, not so much as daddy only, but as a human being. We reconciled. And I will tell you, Christine, the 2.5 years I've been here, my dad and I haven't fought, and we had gone for a whole year not talking. All I needed to do was appreciate him for who he was and realize that he loved me, and what he was doing was to protect me.
Woo! I'm getting goosebumps. Can y'all see? You know, I'm right here.
I'm about to tear up over here talking about it.
No, because I'm still like getting chills. This is like flushing through my system because that was so, we hold our parents in such high regard as these infallible humans who are supposed to be perfect, but our parents are broken as well. Your dad is broken and your mom is broken. Two broken people are going to create a broken son or daughter. And so typically what I do, ladies and gentlemen, depending on whatever the challenge my client has, I have them go back to look at how did this parent become broken, and then you can have understanding on why they show up the way that they do. And so, yeah, you and your dad used to beef all the time. And I remember he used to send these emails and you had to choose whether or not you were going to read the email. And so having you see him and just have grace, passion, and empathy for how he was shaped as a man set both of you free.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then after that, we decided we have to go through your finances and make sure you left your job within 5 weeks. So,
yes. So that was another interesting thing. And it goes back to what we were saying about always feeling like we have to be prepared. So for me, I have always had my career and my finances in check. And when I realized that the job I had was a good job, it had taken me to where I was, but it wasn't what I needed to be in. I remember we decided that I would make a switch. And initially we had talked about, all right, so what kind of job are we looking for? I would go online and look at job descriptions and I could see I qualified, but my heart wasn't skipping a beat. I wasn't getting excited about it. And I decided, and I told you, you know what, I'm going to go home. And even then it didn't make sense. I'd been in the US 15 and a half years. I loved it there, but I felt like that wasn't it. So I mentioned to you that I was going to list my condo. And if I got a buyer, when I got a buyer, then I would go home because I didn't want to be at home on a sabbatical and pay a mortgage. So we listed I listed the property on the market. And I remember I told the realtor, because I was already going to come to Kenya end of March. I remember my travel date was March 21st to 31st. So early March, he comes and takes the pictures. And I tell him, do not list it until then. He says, that's fine. I will just put a coming soon post. And he put it, and I got an offer sight unseen. So sight unseen is where someone just sees the pictures and the price, and they say they want it. And it threw me off because, again, I like being in control. I'm like, no. The house is so quickly. What am I going to do? But I'd say that that's what I was going to do. And so I still came to Kenya. By the way, the buyer wanted to move in within 45 days. It was supposed to be a 45-day close. And I did negotiate my way out. But by May 8th, I needed to be out of the place. So I put in my two-week resignation after coming back from Kenya. And the rest is just history.
You're the classic coincidental thing because the challenge that so many women have, Grace, is they're afraid to say what they want. One, two, or let's back it up. They don't even think that they deserve greater. And the moment that you stuck your stake in the ground, you said, you know what, I'm going to make 2018, like something great is going to happen. Then I show up. We talk about what the real problem that you had. And then everything fell into place so freaking fast. You didn't have to work hard to sell your house. It happened like that. And then there were so many coincidences that happened after that. Your inner being knows what you want. God knows where he wants you to be. You just have to get out of the way.
Yes. And I want to talk about even daring faith, because I think that really represents me. And that coincidence, or whatever we're going to call it, has followed me even now.
It's not a coincidence. It is daring faith. So let's just call it that. I mean, I called it that in the beginning because so many things are happening to people, Grace, good and bad. And I'm like, you know, you're creative, right? So we'll just call it daring faith. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I did a series. I learned about daring faith. And that's what I've realized has been happening to me. So daring faith is just believing the impossible. You don't even see it. You don't know how it will happen, but everything is just pushing you towards it. So when we say, all right, I'll sell the condo and then I'll come home. I remember I was saying, I don't even know what I'm going to do at home in Kenya. I don't know how long I'll be here. I just know that this is what I want. And I came home, and 1.5 weeks later, I happened to go to an event and I met a friend of mine called Sissy. And I told her, I'm back home looking for a job. She linked me up with someone who linked me up to someone. Even my current job is through that connection. And everything has happened because of that. So yeah, we don't need to have everything in order. We just need to believe it's going to happen. The universe will make it happen. I'm truly a believer of that. Yeah, we have to be ready for it and act.
You move, and then the universe and God moves. But most people are afraid to even move. Most people are afraid to say they want something different. Then you move. You said, you know what? Fine. I'll list my house. Boom, it's sold. So you go home. We took a month off where I said, do nothing, eat all you want, just move around on the couch because you were stressed out. So it's like, don't go into a new job without decompressing. So then you decompress. I think it was 6 weeks. And then we started, okay, well, now go network 2 days a week. So we had a plan on Grace is going to chill for 3 months because you had the financial capacity to do so. So at a certain point, Grace, our mental health, if we have enough money, our mental health is so much more important than the next job. Talk to us about that 3 month grace period, grace for grace.
So you're right. So when we decided I was coming home, and the plan, I say we because we really worked together through all this. So May 8th, I sell the condo, and I had also already bought another plane ticket to travel. So first it was to Colombia in South America. So I did that. And then I went back to the US. I had already bought another ticket to Australia. I went to Australia, and now from Australia is when I came to Kenya. So I arrived in Kenya. Life had to happen. I arrived in Kenya June 1st, 2018, and I followed what we had said. I was just going to come and rest. And that's all I did. Literally for a month, I told my family, I'm here. I don't know how long I'm here for. I'm not in trouble. I just want to chill. And do not ask me any questions because I don't know the answer.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and so for 4 full weeks, that's all I did. And I read books, and I visited my mom's. I went to my brother. I would just be all over Nairobi just hanging out, resting and eating. And by the way, by the end of that month, people were telling me I was glowing. And I was like, what do you mean? Kenya is like dusty. What do you mean I'm glowing? I needed to rest. I was burnt out. And so after that, we then decided I'll start networking because I had already started feeling that I wanted to be here longer. Still not knowing how much longer, but I knew I wanted to be here for a while. And so then we now went into how many times am I going to network? What will be the goal of the networking?
Talk to the listeners about that rest period, because when I burned out for real, like my goal, I know what a person burning out sounds like. I know what it looks like because I did it. My goal is to save anybody from that. And when I finally, life made me stop, I slept for a year. It wasn't even fair. It was ridiculous and it was terrible. So talk to the listeners about what was that month like? And did you really know how tired you was until you stopped?
No, honestly, I did not know. So the way my month was, I had 3 homes that I was moving from. There was my sister's house, there was my brother's house, and then there was my parents' house. And all I would do, I didn't even have a time to wake up. Thankfully, my family knows that I love to sleep. So no one was waking me up. And then also everyone knows that I don't care for being in the kitchen. So I'd wake up, find food. Also, thankfully for Kenya, we have help. So I'd wake up, find food, I'd eat. If I feel like going to bed again, I would go to bed. If I wanted to read or whatever, call a friend, I would do that. I was just following my body and I had zero plan. I didn't know, even going to bed, I didn't know what I was going to do the next day. I just followed whatever was coming. And there were days I was sleeping 12-hour days without knowing. Like I would close my eyes, it's 9 p.m. I open my eyes, it's 9 a.m. That's how tired I was. And I didn't realize it until later. Even the first week, I thought, oh, jet lag, I've really traveled. But then going 2-3 weeks in, I knew it wasn't jet lag because I adjust pretty quickly to time changes.
Yeah, our souls are exhausted. And for women, high achieving, high power women who like to be in control.
Yeah, yeah.
Who like to be needed. We completely exhaust ourselves. And I like what you said earlier where you said, I told my family, don't ask me any questions. Because a lot of times when people don't understand your journey, we have to defend the decisions that we're making for our life, and which is exhausting. And you know, and that was the plan. It was, we had a very calculated plan.
Yes.
Precision plan for grace to, one, get what you want, but to rest. This is the thing. When I said, you know, take the month off, you were like, wait, what? We had to have a precise plan.
Yes.
How grace was going to rest. Detail. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Christy, one of the things too I like that you advised me that up until today I have used as a tool. I remember you told me there are people who will not understand this. It's not up to you to explain it. And so even the time I was here, I mostly was with my family. There are cousins I didn't meet. There are people I didn't even give people my new local number because I didn't want to have to be in a situation where I needed to explain to anyone. And what usually happens when you start explaining yourself is you actually get distracted and you start doubting yourself. Remember, I was operating on daring faith. So if people would have asked, what's your plan? And I'm coming to a country where the unemployment rate is so high. It seemed like a crazy idea, but I didn't have to explain it to anyone. I just needed to take care of me. I still do that. Thanks for that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All day, every day. Hey, we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Do people tell you that you should be satisfied with all you've achieved, but you still want more? Are you destined to be great? but you can't figure out how to manifest it into your present reality. In Christy's latest book, Trauma Default, you'll learn how unhealed childhood trauma and incidents from your past stops you from moving forward to the next level of your future. You will also learn how to find your purpose and step into your destiny. Get it at traumadefault.com.
And we're back. I love your story. This for me is refreshing to recap, because we recap on social media over time, but you called one day crying. And I was like, I'm not talking to you right now. Girl, eat some cake. I'm not doing it. Nope. Because somebody told you that your skills in the U.S., and y'all got to put an anchor point in this note because it's so good, that your skills in the U.S. did not translate over to Kenya. And it's because if you're solely going by who you are on paper, then that's not going to work. So let's get clear on the five things that make you, and now I call it your superpower. What makes Grace great, and what makes her different, and what's her unique selling proposition into the market? So once we got clear on those things and what your superpower was, what happened after that? This is like a saga. Go ahead.
Yeah. Everything opened. So let me give some background to that. So like you mentioned in the beginning, I was a high net worth underwriter in the US. Coming home, the wealthy people do not borrow money the way the wealthy people in the US borrow. In the US, there's so many reasons for even taking a mortgage. It reduces your tax liability. It helps with your inheritance planning and everything. The rates are so low. In fact, the interest rate on a loan is less than the earnings you make in an investment. It's the reverse here. So as I was looking for jobs, I happened to talk to a career coach who, I know you're going to laugh at that because she's not certified. But anyway, I talked to someone and she could not even understand what I did in the US. So for that reason, she could not translate to what my skills were here. And this is where now I do realize that the skills I built, and obviously the skills I built in the US are translatable here. The JD, the job description, might be different, but there are things I've learned in life that just are so valuable here. That's what, since then, as I have talked to people, they have seen my talent, going back to everything just aligning. And even my current boss, the first time we met, introduced by the lady I met when I said I was ready for a job, he heard about what I did in the US and he immediately told me, come work for me. And it just fell. Literally the job I'm doing right now aligns with the experience that I earned in the US. Yes, girl. Yeah, it just aligns.
So this is about 2 years in the making, because what you were told when you first arrived, that there was no place for you, you actually had somebody create it for you. But in that gap, Grace, I remember when we got your superpower in order and you were at lunch with somebody. It was a startup CEO. He said, I need you. So we wrote, and then after 6 months, and we negotiated a phenomenal package, by the way. And then after 6 months, you were having lunch with somebody else. And so we wrote two job descriptions. So you were the case of, it was a square peg in a round hole. They created a square hole for you because you were clear on, this is who I am. And this is what I bring to the table. And people were like, I need that. Can you write a job description for that though? So talk to us about those scenarios where you were having conversations with people and then they were like, I need that.
Yeah. So, and it started, let's start with the lady that I met. So her name is Cece. She's a coach. And so she's the one I met. She told me, I know someone, I'll introduce you. So he also lived in America. He's actually American, working here, has a startup. And when we met over lunch, I remember we were talking as he was having his lunch, eating a wrap. And I was in jeans because he just said, let's meet and greet. So I go out casually, he's asking me to explain what I did. And I'm telling him, he's like, that's actually what I need. Can you write that down? So that consultancy role was based on us just having dialogue. That consultancy ended, and then I met my current boss. So the same thing happened. My current boss, he had a need that he wanted to fill. And he could tell, based on my experience, that I'm the one that could fit that need. So he then asked me to write a job description. My current job is actually that job description, and it was a manifestation. Truly, there's no other way I could describe it. It was a manifestation of what you and I had been talking about. So writing the second JD was me just writing down what I want in my current job. And I'm still so happy. I'm in it. And I feel so fulfilled because on my vision board, I am doing things that I wrote down. It's amazing. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, you're like the fairy who throws out fairy dust to people like, believe, and people are like, I don't know. So I want to back it up and offer just a little bit more clarity on this. Because, Grace, so many women are lost and they have all this experience. And they think that in order for me to have peace, I have to downgrade my experience, or I have to, in order for me to have joy and not be stressed out, I have to take a lesser job or cut my salary in half. Or they don't know where they fit, even with all the things and the MBA and the Omega certification. And we wrote them things down. I was like, you must be out your mind. No, you're going to get something, right? What advice do you have for women who have 15, 20 years experience and they don't know what to do with it and how to monetize it? What advice do you have for them?
Yeah. So the first thing that I'll say, and because it worked for me, is hire a coach. We need someone who will call us out on our BS. And if you remember, Christy, I've told you this so many times, I would have a million excuses and then Christy would call me out on it. So you need someone who will call you out on your BS. Your friend might side with you. They might not have they might not be able to tell you as it is. To me, that's what a coach does. A coach also gives me the tools to know how to address certain situations. That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is sometimes what holds us back, like we mentioned earlier, is not external circumstances, it's us. If you have any issues that you need to resolve, resolve those first, because we may just be having a mental block. So work on that. That's important. Another thing, the third thing I would say is have self-compassion and forgive others. So we are so hard on ourselves. As successful women are so hard on ourselves when something doesn't work. And then we end up just holding ourselves back. And if there's someone that's wronged you, even if it's a former boss, a past relationship, go through that forgiveness journey, because you just lift yourself off bondages that you don't realize were holding you back. And then that other thing that I talked about earlier, just have daring faith. Let's stop waiting for things to align for us to get going. If you've been successful in the past, you already have the tools you need. You just need to believe this too is going to work for you if you have a plan. I shouldn't say a plan, but if you have someone guiding you along the way and it's not an emotional reaction to something.
You know, I'm cheesing so hard because I don't remember wrestling you down to the ground, because that's normal with my clients. Y'all remember? I don't remember because it's normal. We're like, what you just say? But my coaches talk to me sideways as well. It's like, we need somebody, because your friends will agree with you. Your friends will agree with the limited story that you tell yourself, and they will feel sorry for you. They think that's what you need. And I'm not trying to hear that like this. I don't hear that.
And that's actually what you say too. You say, I'm not trying to hear that. But the cool thing too is I'll tell you, I don't want to do it right now. And you'll ask me, why not? What are you afraid of? And then I'll have the one reason or the one excuse, and we'll dig deeper. Is that really what you're afraid of? You know, so that's where you start calling us out. Then we realize, you know, I wasn't even afraid of the thing I said I was afraid of. It was just in my mind. But you do call me out, Christy. That's the truth. But stop, though.
I had pain in your voice when you said it. You were like, you do call me out. Y'all, somebody save me from this lady. You were like, I ain't trying to hear that. Don't nobody want to hear that. What are you talking about? Like, oh no, you're look, I always tell people, Grace, I'm not the coach that you invest in to not get results. Oh no, you gonna get some results around here. You're not playing.
Yeah, and I like that.
Tell us about the turn up travel, right? Because you have everything that you wanted, which is amazing. And so when I'm working with my clients now and I'm like, look, because, you know, we're doubling income in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the beginning. I'm like, it's only been 3 months. Do you not understand that this thing gets better and better and better? And so you started to believe daring faith, and now you're just growing and smiling and you're happier. So talk to us about your small business that you wanted to start and what you're doing right now to, I think, to just bring joy to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have always loved travel. And the moment I discovered it, I started doing it. I came home, like we said, in 2018. And right in early 2019, I remember wanting to travel somewhere. I hadn't traveled a lot in Kenya. And I also so didn't have friends that I could travel with here. And I went online. I don't even remember how this happened, but on my social media, on my news feed, I see an advertisement for a trip to the northern Kenya, like it's the desert. And I thought, you know what? I've traveled solo to other continents by myself, so I'll do this. But this is a group trip, of course, being cautious too. And I go on the trip to the Chalbi Desert in northern Kenya, and I meet an amazing group of friends. In fact, on the way there, the guy that sat next to me not knowing that he was the owner of Turn Up Travel, we just start a conversation and we talk all the way from Nairobi to like Samburu. This is all day trip. And we're just clicking and we're talking about business, our love for travel. And then I later discover he's one of the owners. And we just formed that friendship. So I said, you know, I'll help you bring in clients. You just do the planning because I have a corporate job and I'm still not that familiar with Kenya to organize. So we now are in a partnership where when I see my friends or anyone from the US or anywhere coming home, I introduce them to it. So I have actually now combined my love for travel and my love for Kenya into a business package. And when I get those deals, I make money off of it. I go for free and things like that.
That's so good. And the thing about it, Grace, is I wrote down, you are finding ways to create the life that you want simply by solving problems for people. Entrepreneurs are people who solve problems for people. Even when you talked about with the bank and the startup, as you were talking casually, because relationships are the way to emotions, period. So I do want to come back to that, because you got these job offers, you were in jeans, you're just chilling, we talking, eating a wrap, and he was like, I need that. You know, even the second relationship that you created, I don't think that was a job intention. It was just talking, and they were like this, I need that as well. So tell the ladies about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I was even grabbing my phone because there's something I wrote down coincidentally as I was preparing for this. One of the other things that I have realized that we don't do enough as women, but that men do, is that we do not invest enough in social capital and professional networks. So, you know, we are good at hanging out with our girlfriends, with our family members. And I know this is even something you say, Christy. Men will meet at a bar and they will discuss business and they will tell each other they need a job or whatever. We don't do that. And we also don't know how to meet with men outside of work and ask. And so that's something I've learned, that as I have talked to people and I've told them what my interest is, they have actually said, you know what? I know someone that I can connect you with. Or I'm interested in that. It is so important for us to do that. Another thing that I learned from when I came is the people who introduced me were paving way for me. They were actually paying back. Many of them had lived abroad coincidentally. Truly, that was not orchestrated. It's just that I happened to live they happen to live abroad. And so I'm also paying back. So sometimes what we want in life, we have to give out just as much.
Yeah, that's the law of sowing and reaping. I think a part of you getting clear on what makes you great, because women are taught and conditioned to believe that if we talk about ourselves, that makes us braggadocious. So you're not even to own your greatness. You're just talking about, these are the things that I got. Because that's who you are, casually, and they're like this, I need that.
And yes.
This, okay, well, let's put a price tag on it. I mean, I'm just saying. But and that's the relationship, is that men are not hesitant to talk about or even inflate in some regards who they are, and just you just being comfortable with being great and just expressing it to other people casually, you're getting all these opportunities that are opening up.
Yeah, I'm reading, and the book I'm reading for January is How Women Rise. And that's one of the things they're talking about, that what got us to where we are isn't necessarily what's going to take us to the next level. We have to be able to invest in the networks. We have to be able to speak about our achievements and not expect someone else to see it or assume that someone else will see it. So we just have to speak up, and it's not bragging. You're stating a fact.
All right, one last question. We got this. Is, you know, I could talk to you for 2 hours only because I want to like get the update on the that continues. I tell people I don't watch TV. I just watch my clients, and I just be eating popcorn like this. Ooh, go Grace! Oh, Grace got that new job. Oh, that's hot. She's the head of credit. Oh, that's awesome. And then seeing how, you know, when I think about coaching and what I do, for me, one, needed a career coach, you'd be like this, okay, you know that's what I do, right? You're like, wait, you got me thrown off. I'm like, no, I do it all. But talk to the ladies, you know, in the last question about the power of forgiveness, because that sets you free. Forgiveness is the shortest route to get everything that you want, but it's the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life. Close us out a little bit talking about power of forgiveness and how that's really changed your life.
There's a quote that goes along the ways that forgiveness isn't to set the other person free. Forgiveness, you do it to set yourself free. And the reason I find forgiveness so important, even up until now, it's an ongoing thing, is that we hold ourselves hostage and refuse to change. We refuse to pursue life because we are stuck on something that happened in the past. Someone that hurt us in the past. But what you don't realize is that it becomes a handicap to yourself. So to me, I forgive, and I forgave even back then to let myself go free of that thing, the bondage. So I think that forgiveness is what also opens up a lot for us. You start to see life in a whole new world. So if there's someone or something that had pissed you off and you had not forgiven, when you forgive, you start to see it in a whole different way. You start to see the other person was doing it, even sometimes subconsciously. They didn't even know they're like that, or they were protecting themselves from an experience they had. And you just, you have a new way of looking at life, I'd say. To me, that's the power of forgiveness. It's the release of the bondage, of the handicap that holds us back.
You said something so good. You said you're being held hostage by yourself or to yourself. Like, you're the person that's holding you hostage. And we're mad at people or something that happened 15, 20 years ago. And then you're not moving ahead in your life. And when you started the forgiveness, like a whole new world. I want to start singing a song from Aladdin. A whole new world. This is why I don't have my contract. But like, it's almost like you had all these curtains that were closing in front of you. And but Grace, look, you were living a good life. It's not like you had a crappy life. You had a good life. But when those curtains open up, then what happened?
Everything just started opening up. And you're right. I had a good life. My family and I were still hanging out. I used to come home every year, every other year. So it's not like I was unhappy. At my job, I was making a lot of money. It's not like I was unhappy. It's just that I was missing out on what more could possibly be happening. That's what we hold ourselves and put a filter on what could be greater in our lives.
Yeah, you didn't know that this level of life was possible. Like this life right here, I always tell people, I create happy, weird, highly successful and paid women. That's my goal. Like, let's set your weirdness free. Come on over here. I'm telling people.
You know, Christy, I don't think I've told you this before too, but lately, maybe in the last one and a half years, there are times that I can just be chilling and I'm happy. Like there's a thing that I feel from inside that I didn't ever know was possible. I'd never experienced it. And it's just things aligning. And it all started with that first journey of forgiving myself and forgiving others and forgiving the circumstances, everything.
You know, that's what grace feels like. You know, your name is Grace, but when you can feel the presence of your inner being and God's grace, it just makes you just feel something. You'd be like, oh, it feels so good. A piece of rain just hit my face and you start crying and people are like, what's wrong with you? You'd be like, you don't even, it's a feeling that you can't even explain to people. It's so good.
Yeah. Thank you. Likewise.
All right, Grace, we're going to end. Thank you so much for showing up and, you know, and being transparent and telling your story. I mean, you know, my goal with this podcast is to set women free from themselves, period. It's like, it's not them. It's you. Stop it. You can just come get this crazy joy. Look at how Grace is cheesing right now. That is not a painted on cracked smile. This lady is really happy.
I am. I really am. And I'm grateful to you, Christy. You do a really good job. And I'm grateful that you're also vulnerable, that you've allowed your past experiences to turn into something good and that you share it with other women. So thank you also. And thanks for this, for inviting me in.
Thank you, Grace. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for investing your time with us today. Get Christy's free case study, How to Pivot in Your Career and Recession-Proof Your Income Without Getting Another Degree at www.changenowwithchristy.com. Until next time, be sure to subscribe to our channel and share this episode with a woman who needs it. Your life will never be the same for the best.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.